The following message was recorded at Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. More information can be found online at bethlehem.church.
The sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 21 to 24, verses 21 through 24. In that same hour, he, Jesus, rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it."
Our text is connected to last week's text. Remember last week, the 72 disciples had come back from their mission, their gospel mission, rejoicing in the success that they had, that even the demons obeyed them in Jesus' name. And remember how Jesus directed them to their greater joy, being that their names were written in heaven. He oriented them to rejoice more that they were saved than in the success and fruitfulness of their ministry. And our text begins in verse 21 with Luke making really clear that these are connected. In that same hour, Jesus rejoiced. So there's the connection that Jesus' rejoicing comes right on the heels of him directing his disciples to rejoice in the fact, rejoice most in the fact that their names have been written in heaven. And let me tell you my aim. My aim is that you would, from the depths of your heart and from your head, I really mean head and heart, that you might rejoice with Jesus in the sovereignty of God over salvation. Father in heaven, help us now as we look into this text. You are Lord of heaven and earth. And in humility, we ask, reveal yourself to us anew through your Son as he speaks to us here. And show us the glory of your sovereign grace to us in Christ, that we too may rejoice with Jesus in your sovereignty over our salvation. We pray these things for your glory and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, verse 21 is unique in all the Bible in that it directly quotes Jesus expressing his own joy to God the Father in this way. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." And right there I thought, by my saying that this is a unique passage in the Bible that describes Jesus being joyful in this way, I wonder if you're thinking, is Jesus a happy person? or is he kind of crabby? I want to fix that right out of the chute. It's true. Isaiah 53 describes Jesus as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53:3. And he mourned the sin and sufferings of this world, and he experienced persecution and rejection, culminating in his own death and resurrection on the cross for our salvation. But still, Jesus is and was and has been and will be a joyful person. I mean, even in his sufferings, he endured for the joy set before him. He's joyful, and he's ever been joyful in the joy that the Father's the Father has for the Son, and the Son has for the Father, and the love that they share in the Holy Spirit. He's forever been joyful. This Jesus, the Son of God, is happy. I just want to mark that. He's happy. He's joyful. In fact, stunning as it may seem, John 15:11, Jesus says this, "These things," his teaching, "I have spoken to you that my joy, the joy I have and have had from all eternity with the Father in the Trinity, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So yes, Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but he was sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Sorrowful yet always rejoicing. I hope you've heard that before. That is the flavor we hope for in our services here. Do you come into worship and there's no denying of your sorrows and griefs and sufferings in this world? And yet in it all and through it all, we look to the Lord and rejoice in hope in him. That's what we do week in and week out. That's what we intend to do, to be like Jesus, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Well, now, just going to pick this apart. Look at this, verse 21, and then I'll give you my outline, because the outline is going to ask the question, so what's Jesus so joyful about? Why is he praising God with joy? But here, first let's look at this. Verse 21, he rejoices in the Spirit. See, that in the Spirit. He's rejoicing. That word is a rich word. And the ESV word is just, it needs to be translated by the Amplified Bible. I didn't check the Amplified Bible. But it's a rich word for rejoicing, describing great joy or jubilant gladness or exuberance or, I would like, overflowing with joy. Jesus is overflowing with joy in the Holy Spirit. The word for joy there, for rejoicing, he rejoiced here, is the same word used to describe Mary's demeanor when she sings the Magnificat. Remember this? My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Jesus is really, really, really happy in this rejoicing, in the Spirit, in thanksgiving to God the Father. That's the first thing I want you to see. The second thing I want you to see is this, where Jesus says, thank you. That's also a rich word. It's not just thanksgiving, it's praise and agreement. And Jesus is joyfully thanking God, praising God, agreeing with God in the way he does things in salvation, as is going to be described. This is a beautiful glimpse of the unity of the Trinity in this worship. Jesus says, you know, Jesus rejoices, Jesus the Son of God, in the Spirit, to God the Father. And you can see the distinct persons of the Trinity in this glad celebration. Now, I just think it's interesting. I wonder if you noticed it. It stood out to me that Jesus, you know, Jesus' favorite title, reference to God, is God the Father. Father. He's always praying, Father. And yet Jesus adds, Lord of heaven and earth, as he's joyfully praising God here. Did you notice? I prayed that way in the beginning of the service. I prayed, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And I did it again at the beginning of this message. So Jesus is seeing God's Father, the familial, the eternal Son, praising God, the Father. And Jesus explicitly identifies God, praises God as Lord of heaven and earth, sovereign over all. Father, familial, sovereign, mighty God who accomplishes his will and his purposes here in this world. That's how he begins his, his praise. Now here, what is Jesus so joyful about? What is he praising God for? And in a phrase, I'd say Jesus is rejoicing in and thanking God in glad agreement for God's sovereign grace in salvation. Breaking it down, here's what I see. Jesus rejoices in praise to God for these three aspects of God's sovereign grace in salvation. Number one, he rejoices in God's good pleasure. That's verse 21. We'll spend most of our time on that one. Number two, Jesus rejoices in the Son's choice. That's verse 22. And thirdly, Jesus rejoices in the believer's blessing. That's the last two verses, verses 23 and 24. So I'll give you the 3 points again. Jesus is rejoicing for God's good pleasure, for the Son's choice, and for the believer's blessing. Okay, let's look at them one at a time. Number one, the Father's good pleasure. Verse 21. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Could also be translated, your good pleasure. So Jesus is overflowing with joy because it is God's gracious will or good pleasure to have hidden these things from some and revealed these things to others. He's hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and he's revealed these things to children. Question. What are these things that Jesus is talking about? Well, when he says these things, he's referring back to the things that he'd just been talking about in the previous passage that we looked at last week. You know, looking back to verse 20, these things relate to the things that cause our names to be written in heaven. These things, things such as predestination, things such as God's election, things such as seeing Christ for who he is, things such as believing and being saved. Those are the things. The things that God the Father is concealing to some and revealing to others are things pertaining to salvation. So now question number two. Who are the little children? The little children to whom God has revealed these things are those whose names have been written in heaven. The reason their names have been written in heaven in the book of the life of the Lamb is not because of their natural intelligence or wisdom or understanding. No, it's not it. I mean, you know as well as I do that the disciples and those following Jesus, these men and women, were not highly educated people in secular education or in Judaism. I mean, left to themselves, they don't have any spiritual wisdom. But yet they are like little children. And they humbly look to Jesus, believe his word, and rely on God for their salvation, not on themselves. This is the sovereign grace of God in revealing these things to children. They know Christ and they know God through Christ because, and only because, God has revealed it to them. The Apostle Paul, maybe you might have thought of this text, He says something similar about the church in Corinth, you know, just noting that they were not wise and understanding type people. They were ordinary. They were not. Here, I'll read it. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Paul speaking to the church. Not many of you were wise and according to worldly standards. Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you were of noble birth. In fact, you were of no big deal. Verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And you might think, why would God in his sovereign grace reveal himself through Christ to little children, to people who are no big deal? Paul gives the answer in that text in 1 Corinthians. Well, God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. It is because of him you are in Christ Jesus. So far, Jesus praises God happily for having revealed the things of salvation to those who are like little children. And their names are written in the book. Next question, who are the wise and understanding? Well, in keeping with the context, the wise and understanding are those whose names have not been written in heaven. Their names are not written before the foundation in the book of the life of the Lamb. They have not come to saving knowledge of Christ, and they have not been reconciled to God. Why? Well, this text says, because it has been concealed from them by God in his good pleasure. This is not a new teaching in the Bible. If you remember back to Exodus 33, when God reveals his name and his glory to Moses, remember what he says? He says he's sovereign over salvation. I'll read it. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God is sovereign in his dispensing his grace and his mercy, and in his revealing these things to little children, and in concealing these things from the wise and the understanding. And don't take away from this that, oh, only stupid people become Christians. That's not the point. It's not about education or learning, formal or other. It's not that at all. And let me use the book of Job. There's a phrase in the book of Job that describes what I believe Jesus is getting at when he's talking about those who are wise and understanding. Remember the book of Job? Job is in this terrible suffering. He has these three friends who come to him with bad advice. And then, two-thirds of the way into the book of Job, there's this fourth friend who comes, Elihu. And Elihu is the youngest of all. You know, so it's like you're not expecting the wisdom to come from the youngest. But it does in the book of Job. And Elihu says this in Job 37:24, and I take it as exactly the kind of wisdom and understanding that Jesus is getting at in our text. He says, Elihu says, therefore, men, fear God. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit. In other words, the term wise and understanding doesn't, it's not talking about one's level of education. It refers to those who, in their own arrogance, in their own, who believe themselves wise, but it's wise in their own conceitedness. It's a prideful wisdom. They don't need any wisdom from God. They got it all figured out. What do I need God to tell me about God? I know it. I got it figured out. You see how kooky it is? They see themselves as self-sufficient, dismissing the need for divine revelation from the Word, from Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit. They consider themselves wise in their own conceited eyes. You know, and I maybe you're this kind of person. Maybe you're here just to listen to the kids sing and you think, I don't need this religion stuff. I don't need this Bible stuff. I don't need Jesus stuff. I don't need any. I got this God thing, this religious thing, this spirituality thing all figured out. No thank you, apart from God's help, God's word, Christ Jesus. Well, this text says that God has concealed these things from you. And I'll have a word for you when I close, a word of hope. So point number one, bringing it to a close here, is Jesus rejoices in the Father's good pleasure in revealing these things, things of salvation, to little children. To people who are like little children, people who are humble. And concealing these things, the things of salvation, from those who are wise and understanding in their own conceit. That's point number one. Here's point number two. Now, verse 22, Jesus' joy extends to the fact that God the Father has given all things to him, including the sovereign authority to reveal and conceal the things of salvation. Verse 22, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. So God has handed all things over to the Son. What things? Well, we know from other texts that the Father has given Jesus all authority in heaven and on earth, and authority over life and death, even his own. Authority to speak the word of God, authority to judge at the judgment, all human beings. And yet the focus here of this delegation of handing over from the Father to Jesus. What is this authority he's handing over? It's the authority to reveal the things of salvation and to conceal the things of salvation according to God's good pleasure. John 17, 1 and 2. Jesus says of himself, Father, you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to whom you have given to him. Here's Jesus giving life, giving these things to whom he chooses, to whom the Father has given to him, to little children. And yet, on the other hand, when Jesus is asked, why do you speak in parables? Remember his answer? So that what I'm saying would be revealed to some and hidden to others. That in hearing, they might not hear. That in seeing, they might not see. Jesus continues. Verse 22, right in the middle of verse 22. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father. Or who the Father is, except the Son. The picture I get is, say, you have the Trinity. God the Father knows the Son. And he enjoys the Son infinitely and forever. And the Son knows the Father. And he enjoys and knows The Son knows the Father infinitely and fully. So the Father knowing Son, Son knowing Father, back and forth. And it's like, how do we get into that? There's only one way. One glorious and delightful way to know God through Christ. Saving knowledge of God is given, quote, the end of verse 22, to anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's really cool. One way to know God, one way to know Jesus, is through him alone. He has been delegated the authority to reveal these things to little children. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So that's point number two. Jesus praises God for having handed over to him the sovereign authority to conceal the things of salvation to some and savingly reveal himself and God to others. To anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That's why I titled it, The Son's Choice. Why does God do it this way? So that no one can boast before God. I mean, if you know God in Christ Jesus, it's not because of your smarts or your pedigree or because you grew up in the church or because you're smarter than your brother or sister or neighbor. It is owing solely to the sovereign grace of God in his revealing these things, the things of salvation, the person of Christ, the gospel, to you, whereby you believed. Point number two. Number three. I guess my closing comment there bleeds into this one. Number three, Jesus is now, he extends his joy in God's sovereignty over salvation to the disciples. I like this too. You know, so then he's apparently been saying these things to the disciples in a bigger setting. And now it says, verse 22, then turning to the disciples, he said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see. Blessed, happy, joyful, contented, satisfied are the eyes that see what you see. That they see who Christ is. That they have come to know God through Christ. That they have been, that these things have been revealed to them. That the things of salvation is a huge blessing that Jesus wants to make sure that they appreciate, see. Blessed are you. Remember how Jesus responded when in Matthew, Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember how Jesus responded? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. Jesus is saying the same thing here to his disciples. Blessed are you that have come to know God through Christ. You have received God's sovereign grace, amazing love. You are most blessed of all peoples. Verse 24, Jesus says, I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it. To hear what you hear and did not hear it. You know, I pushed back there. I thought, just think of it. You know, Moses, Abraham, King David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Malachi, all spoke of the coming Christ. They didn't see. Even Adam and Eve. You know, who's this seed? But you, disciples, you believers, have been most richly blessed. God has lavished his sovereign grace upon you and revealed to you these things. His Son, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our God, through whom we have come to know God and Christ forever and ever and ever. And we find that our names have been written in the book from before the foundation of the world. Now, in conclusion, I've got a word for believers and unbelievers. Two different words. Long time ago, when Kathy and I were in our 20s, we were in a Bible study, and we were walking through the book of Luke. And we came upon this passage where Jesus says, I praise you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. And the Bible study blew up. It just ended right there. We never met again because the Bible study was split. As I remember it, I think there were only three couples. Two couples said, Jesus says it. We believe it. We're going to rejoice with him. We don't understand it all. We're going to lean in. One of the couples said, if God is like that, I don't want anything to do with him. Yikes. My word for you, if you're a Christian, two things. Humbly rejoice with Jesus. To have been blessed by God with the grace of salvation, believing in Jesus, is not owing to you. Be humbled and rejoice in God's sovereignty over your salvation. Rejoice with Jesus. Number two, learn, study. Go to the Tulip Seminar that Pastor John is teaching. I mean, this text is only one little text in the whole Bible's teaching of God's sovereignty over salvation. And the seminar will be a chance to walk through the many, many texts and put it together in a systematic way such that you can rejoice with Jesus in God's sovereignty over salvation and be utterly humbled by the grace of God that he has shown to you. It will shape your worship forever. If you're not a Christian, this text says it's because you've been wise and understanding in your own self-sufficiency and pride, in your own conceit. As if you don't need God to reveal himself to you because you've already got it figured out. Are you just a hopeless case? No. My answer is no. Turn to God. Repent. Go to Jesus. Interesting. This passage of ours this morning occurs in a parallel passage in Matthew. There's a couple of differences. Matthew doesn't say that Jesus is rejoicing, that he's in his praise. He says he's thanking God. But the other difference is that parallel passage, the next verse goes on to say this. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and my burden is light. What am I getting at? Well, it may be up to this point in your life, you've been among the wise and understanding in your selfish pride. And the gospel's been concealed to you. But here's the thing. God is sovereign over salvation. And in his sovereign grace, he is able to humble you by a revelation of his Son, Christ, and to give you grace to believe in Jesus like a little child. He did it to the Apostle Paul, remember? He did it for everyone in this room who believes, and he can do it for you. I want to give the last word to an old Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar. It's in the book of Daniel. After God humbled Nebuchadnezzar, putting him through a season where he literally lost his mind, God restored him to his right mind. And Nebuchadnezzar said this about God. Daniel 4:37. Those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Father in heaven, Lord of heaven and earth, we join Jesus as little children. And we humbly praise you for your amazing sovereign grace to us in Christ Jesus. And I pray for those here who seem to be among the wise and understanding whose names have not been written in heaven from the foundation of the world. And I pray that according to the riches of your grace and kindness in Christ Jesus, and according to your good pleasure and sovereignty, that you would grant repentance to them, humility, that they might come to Jesus and receive Christ like little children in faith. I pray this in confidence of your sovereign and amazing grace to us in Christ Jesus. In whose name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies or alter their content in any way without written permission from Bethlehem Baptist Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us online at bethlehem.church or write us at 720 13th Avenue South, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55415. Bethlehem Baptist Church, spreading a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, for the joy of all peoples, through Jesus Christ.